Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Mem Tes. We are holding on the very top of daf Mem Tes Amid Aleph already. We are at Asiyuha Liyoav on the top line. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisheva Newman, Lizchus for Shlema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya. They should both have for Shlema, Besoch Shar Chola Yisrael. Amid Aleph of today's daf is all about Yoav. We started to learn a little bit about Yoav yesterday, how he sought refuge by the Mizbeach. So first we're going to learn about the trial of Yoav and three different things that he was accused of killing Avner, of killing Amasa, and of himself being married b'malchus. The Gemara is going to discuss how Yoav, before he killed Avner, sort of put Avner on his own private trial, how he questioned Avner before killing him. Then the Gemara is going to tell us how both Avner and Amasa, both of Yoav's victims, were in fact tzadikim v'tovim imenu. They were more tzadikim and tovim than Yoav, and what made them tzadikim v'tovim from Yoav. And then at the very end of the parak, the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit about the tzidkus of Yoav, after telling us all about all these terrible things, so a little bit about the tzidkus of Yoav and what was so great about him. So then Bez Hashem will begin the seventh parak of the Masechta, which is Arba Misos, where the Mishnah is going to list off what the Dalet Misos Bezin are, and it's Machlokes, which is most chamor of the Dalet Misos Bezin, how exactly to order them. So Amud Beis is going to be all about orders. The Gemara is going to say, well, when a Mishnah puts something in order, is the order Ma'akev. So we're going to find four places in Shas where the order in fact is Ma'akev, where when the Mishnah says something in a certain order, it must be in that order. And we're going to find two places in Shas where the order is not Ma'akev, that even though the Mishnah puts something in a certain order, it's not Ma'akev. So Amud Aleph is all about Yoav. Amud Beis is all about the order of things in Mishnayos and whether order is Ma'akev. So let's begin on the top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Asiyu Ali Yoav, they brought Yoav, Yoav had, we learned about his response yesterday by the Mizbeach, where he tells Bnei Yoav, he says that if I'm going to get killed by Shlomo, then he's going to have to accept all the curses that David placed on me, and in fact, that's exactly what happened. So they brought Yoav Dine, and they judged him. Amalei, and the first accusation was, the first thing he had to answer for, my time of Katalti L'Avner, why is it that you killed Avner? So Amalei, Goel Adam Da'asol Avai, he says, I killed Avner because he killed Asoil, and I'm a Goel Adam of Asoil, so I had to defend Asoil. So Asoil Rodef Ava, so he said, what do you mean Asoil was a Rodef? Avner had to kill Asoil because Asoil was Rodef Acharav Lahargo. So Amalei, Hayla Latzila Bechem Hevarav, he says, no, Avner did not have to kill Asoil because even though Asoil was a Rodef, he could have saved him with Echad Meivarav. So Amalei Lo Yachalei, he said, no, they couldn't, there was nothing he could do. Avner couldn't aim so well to knock out Asol's legs or something, as opposed to striking a blow that would kill him. He had no choice but to kill him in order to save his own life. So Yoav didn't buy it. Amar Lei, he said, Hashta bedofen chamishas kivin lei. The way Avner killed Asael was so precise, it was with such precision that he managed to get him between the right by the fifth rib, which is a very exact aim. D'chsivei okeu Avner ba'achorei achanes ala chomesh. V'am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains what does it mean al chomesh bedofen chamishas b'makom shemara v'kaved tuliyim bo, where the liver and the kidney are right there, and he managed to hit right where the vital organs are to be able to kill him. So you want to tell me Be'echon Me'evarav lo yachilei, that he wasn't going to be able to get him Be'echon Me'evarav? Of course he was able to get him Be'echon Me'evarav, because look at how he already aimed to get him perfectly in exactly the spot where he could murder someone quickly. Samalei Nezel Avner. So they said, you know what, you're right. As far as Avner is concerned, your killing of Avner is justified, because Avner in fact could have been Matzil Be'echon Me'evarav, and he chose not to. In fact, the Gemara is going to explain how Avner, Yoav was done Avner Bedin Sanhedrin, and Yoav's main taina on Avner was Yachal Hatzil Be'echon Me'evarav. You could have saved your own life without killing Asoil. So the Gemara is pretty clear that Avner was in fact guilty over here. So with this, they ask on the Rambam Shita in the first parak of Hilchos Rotzeach, is that anytime you could be matzal bechem me'avarav shal rodev and you don't do that, instead you're matzal benafshal shal rodev, hareza shofich damim v'chayiv misa. Aval, says the Rambam, ain't based in Mimisino. So it's true that if you're able to save, you're able to stop a Rodef by being Matzal Be'achim Ne'evarav, by knocking him out at the legs instead of killing him, and you don't do so, you kill him instead, Chayv Misa, it's terrible. Shofech Damim. But Beis Din does not kill such a person. In fact, the Rambam says it again in the ninth paragraph of Hilchos Melachim, that a Ben Noach that is Harag Rodef, Sheyachal Atzil Bechem Nevarv, he's Neragalav, Masha'ein Kain Be Yisrael. That a Ben Noach who were to do this would be Chayiv Misa and would actually be killed in a Beis Din, Masha'ein Kain Be Yisrael. So the Ravid already asks on the Rambam, what about Avner? That even though Avner was able to be Masal Bechem Nevarv and he was Mamis, so Beis Din should not be Mamis him. And yet, that was the whole trial that Yoav put Avner on. That Yoav said, "Okay, Din Sanhedrin, you're going to get killed because of this." So the Kesef Mishnah explains that when it says that he was done with Din Sanhedrin, it was not really a Din Sanhedrin. It's just an Asmachta. We don't find that there was a Din, that there was Hasra. There was nothing else about it that sounded like a Din Sanhedrin, other than the fact that he didn't just go and kill him. He had a conversation with him in advance, and he allowed him to try to explain himself. That's all it means by Din Sanhedrin. Some explain that no, maybe this whole halacha doesn't apply over here. I think Minchas Chinuch writes, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't see it recently, but I think Minchas Chinuch writes somewhere that if you are the one who's being chased, if you are the one who's about to be killed, then you don't have any requirement whatsoever of Yachal Atzil Bechem Me'evarav, because a person who himself is going to be killed doesn't have to be so thought out. He doesn't have to exactly think about what's the best way to save my life over here. When it comes to saving your life, you just turn around and shoot, and you do whatever you can to save your life. So anyway, so Amalei Nezel Avner, they said, you're right, we can't get you out of Avner, they said to Yoav. My time at Katalti L'Amasa, but why is it that you killed Amasa? So Amalei, Amasa Mari B'Malchus, Amasa deserved to die, Amasa was a Mari B'Malchus. Dechsev, Ayom Ramelech Amasa, Azekli Es Yish Yehuda Shloshes Yamim, that David told Amasa that they have to, that he should go and declare war in 3 days. But Amasa delayed in doing so. So you see that Amasa didn't listen to David's instructions, and for that he is a Morid B'Malchus. So Amrle Amasa Achin Varakin Darish. He said no. They said to him, Amasa had a reason to delay. Amasa was Doresh Achin Varakin, meaning Amasa found a drasha to say that if you find that people are busy learning Torah, you don't have to interrupt them in order to go to fight the war at that very moment. And he darshened it from an ach or rak, where ashkechinu de pasiach luhu b'mesechta. He went and he found that the Bnei Yehuda were busy learning. So Amar k'siv kol isha sheyamer es picha v'lo isha mes v'recha l'kol asher titzaveni yumas. So the pasuk tells us about Mari b'malchus, that anyone with Mari b'malchus is going to get killed. Right? The pasuk about Mari b'malchus in the very beginning of Sefer Yoshua, which is interesting that we learn all of the halachos of Mori B'Malchus from the way the Jewish people had to deal with Yoshua. Yoshua was not technically a melech. The first melech, of course, was Shaul, but nevertheless, Yoshua, as the unquestioned leader of the Jewish people, had a din melech, and therefore we learn Mori B'Malchus. It's in the first chapter of Yoshua, because there was obviously going to be some concern after Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer the leader of the Jewish people, and you have someone who's meant to replace Moshe Rabbeinu, that maybe he would not be able to assert his authority, and the people would not listen properly to him because he's not Moshe, and Pnei Moshe Kepnei Acham, Pnei Yoshua Kepnei Levan, he's not even close to Moshe Rabbeinu. So and they had to assert Yoshua's authority, so that's where we got the halachs of Mori B'Malchus, where that the people reassured Yoshua that don't worry, anyone who steps out of line and doesn't listen to you is going to be judged like a Mori B'Malchus. So anyway, we see it from that pasuk, but the Yachla feel the different Torah. So you might think that even when it comes to learning Torah, that if people are busy learning Torah, that they have to stop whatever they're doing to listen to what the king says. Tamal Omar, Rak Chazak V'Yamatz. It says Rak Chazak V'Yamatz, which tells you that there are certain places where you don't need to be so Chazak V'Yamatz. You don't have to go and run to do exactly as the Tzivoy HaMelech is at that moment. Elahu Gavra. So they said, okay, so that's why he killed Amasa, because Amasa was a Mari B'Malchus. So they said, well, Amasa was not really a Mari B'Malchus because he... Amoscha was not really a Marid B'Malchus because he had a drasha that he made. So says Gemara, they then turned to Yoav and said, okay, we understand your excuse, even though we disagree with your excuse for Amasa, we understand it. Elohu Gavra B'Marid B'Malchus Hava. Problem is, you're a Marid B'Malchus. Tichsiv Vashmua Ba'ad Yoav Ki Yoav Nata Achrei Adon Yoav Ve'Achrei Avshalom Lo Nata. That Yoav followed Adon Yoav but not Avshalom. My Lo Nata. What does it mean that he didn't follow the rebellion of Avshalom? He really wanted to join the rebellion of Avshalom, but he just happened to have not joined the rebellion of Avshalom. My time alone, Nata. So why is it that he didn't? Why is it if he really wanted to, why didn't he join the rebellion of Avshalom? Amar Blazer Adayin Lechlucha Shel David Kayemes. David was still too vigorous, and he knew that he wasn't going to be able to be successful. So it was a strategic move. It wasn't a move of principle to not join the rebellion of Avshalom. Rabbi Yosef Reb Chanina Amar Adayin Tzdagnini Shel David Kayamin. David's defenders were still alive, and he knew that he was going to be. David had these tremendously powerful troops and tremendously powerful officers in his army that could have caused him a lot of trouble. So he knew he didn't want to join against that powerful force. What was David's powerful force? Damar Avidom Rav, Arba Meos Iladim Hayu Lo LeDavid, Kulan B'nei Yifas Tor Hayu. David had 400 children that were all B'nei Yifas Tor. That's we just read about Yifas Tor in yesterday's parsha, of course. So they were all B'nei Yifas Tor. Umegadli Baloris Hayu, and they all grew the Baloris hairstyle, which is Machlokes Rishonim. Exactly what it looked like, but some sort of very long hair in the front and shaved on the sides or something like that. Umahalchin Barashe Gayasus Hayu, and they each led large troops into battle. The Hein Hein Balea Gropin Shel David, and these are the ones who would lead David's armies into battle. They were the strong men of David. Upligad Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. That idea that these were the actual leaders of David's army, and that Yoav realized that he would never be successful against an army that had these 400 B'nai Yifas Tawar, that idea is against the teaching of Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Why? Dam Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Ilmale David lo asa Yoav milchama, v'ilmale Yoav lo asak David b'Torah. That Yoav and David had a fantastic arrangement between the two of them. That David was able to dedicate the majority of his time to learning Torah because Yoav was taking care of all of the military affairs. Yoav was able to be successful in his military, on the military side of things, because David was so dedicated to his learning of Torah. And that's the model. That's the model of a successful Jewish state, is when the Jewish people are doing things right, then our military is successful because of our B'nai Torah, and our B'nai Torah are successful because of our military. It's a shutfus. They're able to sit and learn Torah because of the military. That's the ideal model that we have. And that was the partnership of David and Yoav. But notice, the Gemara is pointing out, that it was Yoav who was really seeing to it that the military was successful, not these 400 Balei Agropin B'nai Yifas Tor. They were pawns. They weren't necessarily the driving force. The driving force was actually Yoav. Where do we see that they had this sort of shutvus? Tichsiv Vayidavid Osa Mishpat Utztaka L'chol Amo V'Yoav Ben Sriya Alatzava. David was busy with Mishpat and Tzedaka, and Yoav was Alatzava. Ma Tam David Osa Mishpat Utztaka L'chol Amo Mishum Di Yoav Alatzava. Why is it that David was able to be Osa Mishpat and Tzedaka? Because Yoav was taking care of the armies. Ma Tam Yoav alatzava mishum to David also mishpat tzedaka lechalamo, and Yoav was able to be successful with the army because David was being also mishpat tzedaka. So as it turns out, Yoav was accused of three things. He was accused of killing Avner, but he had a very strong defense for killing Avner, that Avner was a rotzeach and he was a goel adam for the rotzeach of Avner, and they accepted that excuse. For killing Amasa, he said, "No, I killed Amasa because I held Amasa was a Marid B'Malchus." And then he was accused of himself being a Marid B'Malchus. What's unclear was Yoav killed in the end because of killing Amasa also? Meaning, was that excuse accepted, or was it not accepted? The Pashtus is that in addition to killing Amasa, which, as it turns out, Lamaskana was Shelo Kedin, he was also a Marid B'Malchus. And the Marsha tries to explain why he needed both both tainas against him. Why you needed the fact that he killed Amasa and the fact that he was Mar B'malchus. So the Marsha explains, because we just had yesterday a machlokas when someone is Mar B'malchus, where his nechasim goes. That the man diyamer that says nechasim lemelech, it's in order to let it be known that he was killed for that crime, and that's why nechasim lemelech. The man diyamer nechasim liyarshim, they said this to him according to his own das, that Amasa was a Mar B'malchus, so he too was a Mar B'malchus, he was Chayiv Misa. Meaning, the reason they had the second claim against him was what? Your whole taina is that Amasa was Mar B'malchus. So says the Marsha, they caught him on his own taina. It's what the Beis HaLevi writes is when we say that din v'cheshbon, that one has to give din v'cheshbon. So din is you did a particular crime, okay? So you're going to be judged in that crime. Cheshbon is that you have an excuse for that crime, but your excuses are inconsistent with your own behavior. That sometimes you say, oh, I couldn't do this. Why didn't I learn? I didn't learn because I had no time. Yeah, but you had time to watch every single game that the Yankees played this year. You had no time to learn, but you had time to do all sorts of stupidity. You had time to do... So that's the cheshbon element. There's the din, and there's the cheshbon. So what they got Yoav on was, even if you have midin, you want to say, oh, I held that he was a Marid B'malchus. They said, okay, but then by that very claim, you are also a Marid B'malchus. So that's how they got him. That's how the Marsha explains. Good. So says the Gemara further.
But the raya that is machloek see with the 400. I mean, Yoav was the general. Maybe the strength of the army was the 400, and he gets credit because he's the commander in.
Yeah, so what the Gemara is assuming is that they would not have been able to do anything without proper direction from Yoav, meaning that the zechus of all the victories is with Yoav. I'm not sure. I hear the timer, though. I don't know. Says Gemara, Vayetze Yoav miyam David, Vayishlach malachim achrei Avner, Vayishiv also mi bor hasira. So, my bor hasira, what does it mean that Avner came from bor hasira? Amra ve'abba bar kahana, bor v'sira gormelo la'avner she'yaharek. Avner deserved to die because of a bor v'sira, meaning because of what he had done with, as I think Rashi explains over here, with Shaul. Rashi explains, bor tzapachas mayim shalakach lav mirashosef shalshal, the little jug of water that David took from next to Shaul's head, k'shar yashin v'magal, when he was sleeping, k'shar melem David, and David told those who were charged with protecting Shaul, you deserve to die because look how close I got. I could have easily killed him. That should have been Avner's opportunity to tell Shaul, look, obviously you're chasing David for no reason. He doesn't want to kill you. He had every opportunity to kill you. But velo micha, elamer shemeach and mina tzav and asam lo. Instead, what did Avner say? Probably David never got that close. He probably had someone who was a person of stealth who was able to sneak in and did this for him and got the stuff for him, but it probably was not David himself. That would have been Avner's perfect opportunity to put down the whole sichsuch between David and Shaul. And that's why Avner ultimately, midin shemayim, deserved to die. The fact that it says it was betoch hashar, that tells us that he treated him like a Sanhedrin, that he donned him like a Sanhedrin. So he said, "No, you have to explain yourself. Why is it that you killed Asael?" So Asael rodef. He said, "What do you mean? Why did I kill Asael? Asael was a rodef." So as we saw the conversation before, yeah, well then you should have saved him by hurting him, by injuring him without killing him. He said, "Lo yichilile." There was no way I could have done that. I don't buy it. You were able to have such perfect aim that you got him exactly bedofen chamishes. You mean to tell me you weren't going to be able to get him bechem meivarav? L'dabri toba sheli. What does it mean? L'dabri toba sheli. Amar avidom rav al iske shalu. So says Rashi. What does it mean? Al iske shalu. The Rashi in the first wide line on the bottom. Loshon shalna alecha. It's a loshon of shalna alecha. Like Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take off his shoes when he came to the burning bush. Shalo ba'arma yivama gidamta hei choletze. So the way he tricked him into getting killed was he said, can you do me a favor, teach me halacha. How exactly does it work when a person does chalitza, when a woman does chalitza? How exactly does she remove the shoe? So Hizkel shochem ilifanov. So he bowed down, bent down to show him how the procedure is done. Umareu kachi choletzes b'shineha. Meaning she wanted to know, how is a woman who doesn't have any arms, how is she supposed to remove the shoe? So he started showing how he would, how the woman would do it with her teeth because she didn't have any arms. V'ushalav charba v'hargo. So once he had him all the way down on the floor with his face right down to the floor, he had an easy shot. He took his sword and he killed him right there on the spot. So that's the way he got him with to not defend himself, by putting him in such a vulnerable position, by having him demonstrate the chalitza for a woman who doesn't have arms. And that's exactly where he killed him. So Hashem punished Yoav for killing two people who were tzaddikim v'tovim mimenu, meaning both Avner and Amasa were considered tzaddikim v'tovim mimenu. Tovim sheyudarshin achin v'rakin v'hulo darash. They were tovim mimenu in that they knew how to darshin achin v'rakin, and he himself didn't darshin. That refers to the discussion we had before, that he thought that that Amasa was a marid b'malchus, but he didn't realize that Amasa knew how to darshin an ach v'rak. Tzaddikim shein b'peh v'lo asu v'hubi geres. That they were given direct instructions from the king to do something wrong and they did not follow those direct instructions. He only was told about killing Uriah on the battlefield. He was only told secondhand. He wasn't even given direct instructions. It was a letter that was sent to David, and he was all too eager to carry out that command of David, even though it was not the right thing to do. So in that way, they were both tzaddikim v'tovim imenu. Va'amasa l'nishmar b'cherev asher b'yad Yoav. Amasa was not careful about the sword that was in Yoav's hand. He didn't think that Yoav was going to kill him. Amarav shalo chashadu. It means he wasn't choshed that Yoav was going to kill him. He wasn't feeling defensive. So the Gemara tells us, okay, so after Yoav was killed, he was ultimately buried in his house in the Midbar. So Atu Beso Midbar Hu? His house was a Midbar? What kind of expression is that? That a person's house is a Midbar? Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Amar v'damarav Kim Midbar. His house was like a Midbar in the following sense. Ma Midbar Mufkar Lakol, Af Beso Shal Yoav Mufkar Lakol. Just like a Midbar, anyone can come and take whatever's there, everything is hefker in the Midbar, so too the house of Yoav, any Ani who wanted to come through, who wanted to take anything from the house of Yoav, it was an open door policy, anyone was able to come in and take anything. It was such a bal tzedakah that it was mufkar for everybody. Davar acher kamidbar, another explanation of a Midbar is as follows. Ma Midbar menuka mi gezel va'arayos, just like a Midbar doesn't have any gezel and arayos because there are no people in a Midbar, so af beso shel Yoav menuka mi gezel va'arayos. So to Yoav's household didn't have any sort of gezel va'arayos in his household. Normally, the Marsha writes, normally people who are great warriors you have a lot of gezel va'arayos, meaning people who are great warriors have this like major testosterone push, you know, every time they're going out to fight battle, so it's natural for such a person to be more prone to aggressive behavior, to averus of gezel va'arayos. But when you have someone who's fighting completely l'shem shemayim, so that susceptibility is not going to creep in, and that's what we're saying, that the melchamos that Yoav fought were menuka migezel va'arayos, that there wasn't any sense of gezel va'arayos. So that's the great praise over here, because you would say, you know, what's the big deal? There are a lot of that just means that you're basically a decent human being if you don't have gezel va'arayos. Why is that such a great the first thing? Mufkar l'kol, that his house was mamish hefker like midbar. How many people are like that? Your stories, I think they say, Chaim Soloveitchik, you know, his house was like that. That there were that if anyone wanted to post an announcement, they would just put it in Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's living room. You know, like they put in shuls today, because that's where you have the most people. They put it in Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's living room because that's where everyone was always going through, because he was such a public place. So you find what tzaddik once every whatever that behaves in such a way. But menuka migezel v'arayos, what's the big deal? But that's the big deal, because his whole profession is one that's fraught with danger. Of Gezel and Arayos, and he still managed to avoid all of it. The Yoav Yechayes Shari'ir, That no matter what he had, whatever he was eating, he always made sure that paras lehu, that he would give out a prusa to the aniyim as well. That he would always make sure that aniyim would have even these delicacies, like these delicious little fish, he would make sure that the aniyim had what to eat as well. So, Hadron Lach Nigmar Din, we now begin the seventh parak on the Sech Sanhedrin. So says the Mishnah, Arba Misos Nimshu Lebezin, Skilas Reifa, Hereg Vechenek. There are four Misos Bezin, and they are Skilas Reifa, Hereg, and Chenek. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Streifa Skila, Chenek Vehereg. That the proper order is Streifa Skila and Chenek Vehereg. Zum Mitzvos Haniskalin, and what we've learned until this point is the Mitzvos Haniskalin. There is a discussion, as Machlokes Rishonim, these Arba Misos that are Nimshu Lebezin, are they four separate Mitzvos, or are they all considered a single Mitzvah that Bezin has a Mitzvah? Of capital punishment when necessary, and it's all one big mitzvah. So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos writes that each of them is a mitzvah sase on the Beis Din to kill Misha Neschayivba, and his raya is from our Mishnah, where our Mishnah specifically says Zum mitzvah saniskalin, and then it's going to say on Nun Beis mitzvah sanisrafin, and on Nun Beis on Beis mitzvah sanaragin, and the next mitzvah mitzvah sanachnakin. So it sounds like they're each their own mitzvah. It keeps on referring to it as a mitzvah. So they're divided into four mitzvos asay. However, not all the Rishonim agree with that. They assume that that it's all one single mitzvah. If you look in the Ramban in Shoresh Yudalid, the Ramban writes that they're all mitzvos asay achas, and they're all included in what the Torah says uviarta harami kirbecha. That's a single mitzvah asay of uviarta harami kirbecha that's fulfilled by carrying out all of the dalid misos. Based in Lamaynaf Kamina, what is more chumer than the other? Meaning, clearly, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to say that the reason that this machlokas matters doesn't sound like a machlokas. They're both listing all the same four things, is because they're listing it in order of chumra. So the Rashi in Dibra Masklarba and the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnah say that the nafkamina is if someone is chayiv shtei misos, because the Mishnah is going to say in Daf Peal, if someone is chayiv shtei misos based in is nidon b'chamurish behen. So if someone is chayiv skila and sreifa, I need to know which is more chamur, so I can know which one to give him. So that's a simple nafkamina in the machlokas. But there's an additional nafkamina. The Meiri writes, let's say you have two chayavim misos that are mixed in with each other. You have someone who's people who are chayiv skila mixed in with people who are chayiv sreifa. So what do you give them? You don't know who's who. You don't know who's chayiv what. So we have a Mishnah later on that says that they're both given the misa hakala. So that's another nafkamina. You need to know what the misa hakala is if Skullin and Nisrafin are mixed in together with each other. So Lechora, that's a very strong nafkamina, meaning that also emerges directly from Mishnah. So that's what Tos Yantif is bothered, why it is that Rashi and the Rambam don't say that nafkamina. Meaning, why did Rashi and the Rambam only say nafkamina about a guy who's chayiv shtei misos? Say nafkamina that emerges directly from the Mishnah of Yavetarovis, of Niskalin v'nisrafin. So the Maram Shik suggests that Rashi must hold, like the Shitas HaRambam, that Arba Misos Bezin are four separate mitzvos. And when you have Shnei Chayavi Misos that are mixed in with each other, that the fact that when you kill with the mitzvah Akala, you're not being Mekayim, the Misa Chamura Kimitzvasa. So it's maybe true that that's the Halacha, that you give them the mitzvah Akala, but it's not a Kiyum HaMitzvah of the Misa HaChamura. So since it's not a Kiyum HaMitzvah of the Misa HaChamura, the Mishnah could not properly say Zum Mitzvah Saniskalin. Meaning when we say Zum Mitzvah Saniskalin, the Mishnah is saying, yeah, and this is the way you do the mitzvah. Whatever we just alluded to is an actual fulfillment of the mitzvah. So says Maram Shik, it wouldn't be an actual fulfillment of the mitzvah, according to Rashi, if what you're doing is, when you have a mixture of different people, that you just give everyone the lesser Misa. It's a Kiyum of the mitzvah for those who are in fact Chayiv that lesser Misa, but it would not be a Kiyum of Mitzvah. It's a Heter that you're allowed to do it, and you're obligated to do Chiyuv, but it's not a Kiyum HaMitzvah of the Mitzvahs HaNiskalin. So that's what the Maram Shik suggests to defend Rashi over here. Says Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav.
Maybe Rashi said that Nafkamina is more common.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought also. Good. So says the Gemara further. Whenever there's something listed with a number, it's not in any particular order. Chutz, with the exception of Mishiva Samanim, when the Mishnah tells us the seven detergents that they would use to try to clean a kesa, meaning there were sometimes a woman would find a stain and you're not sure if it's real dam or not. So there was a test to do. They would have certain detergents, and if those detergents would remove the stain, then you would know that it's not dam. If those detergents would not remove the stain, then you know that it is dam. So they had these Shiva Samar, and this is, of course, assuming it's red. If it wasn't red, then it's not dam to begin with. But assuming that it has the color of dam, it still wasn't always a guarantee that it was dam. They would have these Shiva Samanin. Titznan, Shiva Samanim Aviran ala Kesem. There are seven Samanim that you put on a Kesem in order to test it. Rok Tafel, if you have raw saliva, someone who woke up in the morning and has not yet brushed their teeth. Umei Grisin, you have saliva from someone who just ate beans. Umei Raglayim, you have urine. Vineser, a type of dirt. Uboris, Kamulia, Vaashleg. So you have all of these different detergents that they put over the... that they put over the kesem. The katani seifa haviron shaloka sidro no shaviron shavasan kachad loss of loklum. If you don't put them in the right order, or you put them all seven at one time, then loss of loklum. Then it is absolutely useless. It has accomplished nothing. So you see that the seder is ma'akev over there. Rav Papa Saba Mishmei de Rav Amar Af Arba Misos Mitkam Afleg Rabbi Shimon Shmamina Dafka Katani. That in our Mishnah also you see that the seder is important over here. It's a different kind of seder being ma'akev, meaning over there you need to do all seven. Over here we're just listing them in some logical order. So the logical order that we're listing them is Mechamur Lakala. We're listing them from the most strict to the less strict. So why didn't Rava Amrav Schor Amrav Huna mention our Mishnah also as something where the seder is important? V'ida because he was just making a statement about things that are not subject to machlokas, where the seder is ma'akev and it's a known, clear seder, and there's no discussion about whether the seder is correct or not. But then the Gemara says maybe a third example as well. Rav Papa Amar Af Seder Yoma Titznan Kol Ma'isi Yom Kippur Ma'amurim Ala Seder Im Hikta Ma'isi L'Chavero Loss of Lo Klum, that the seder of Yom Kippurim is ma'akev as well, and if you do it out of order, loss of Lo Klum, it's worth. Worthless. V'idach, why didn't the other Shitos mention the Seder Yom HaKippurim? Hu Chum Rabbi Alma. Because they hold that is a Chum Rabbi Alma, meaning that it's not that the Seder of Yom HaKippurim is, well, Pashup Pshat, you would normally say Chum Rabbi Alma means that it's not Ma'akev. But if you look at Rashi over here in the second wide line, v'idach amlach v'adei dafka katani umi uchum rabbi alma hu shehech mirakasav avodos osu hayom shemshina besidro pasul v'lo mishum chashivus ta'avodos hu shetezos chamur v'chashuv mechavirta. Rashi says what it means by chum rabbi alma over here is, yeah, of course it's ma'akev. Seder Yom HaKippurim is ma'akev. But why is it in that order? You see, when it comes to the Shiva Sadmanim, we have to start with the strongest one and then work our way down to the weakest one, and that's the way it works. When it comes to the Dal Mitzvos Beis Din, we start with the most chamur and then work our way down. You don't look at the Avodas Yom HaKippurim and say that which comes earlier is more chamur than that which comes later. No, they're all equal in stature. It's just that there is a Seder Advarim that the Torah L'Chomer Hayom, because of the chomer of the day of Yom Kippur, there has to be a very exact and precise Seder that needs to be followed. But it's not about the relative value of one Avoda over the other avoda. That's what it means that it's a chumra bialma. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Amar Af Seder Tamid, a fourth example of something that's ma'akev, and that is the Seder of the Tamid. The Ketani Allah Zeu Seder Tamid says in the Mishnah that's a Seder Tamid, meaning it has to be dafka in that order. V'idach how mitzvah le mitzvah bialma, that's not ma'akev at all. The Seder Tamid is recommended that it be in that order, but it's only the mitzvah bialma. Tama, it's not something that is going to be Ma'akev, which is interesting. The very notion that the Tamid comes first, this Tamid Seder Tamid, meaning the Seder of the actual bringing of the Karban Tamid itself. But the Tamid Klapei other Karbanos is the ultimate halacha of Seder, right? That we learn from the Tamid Shel Shachar that which is most common comes first. The Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, because the Tamid is more Tadir than the other Karbanos. Tamid is brought twice a day, every single day, and that's why it comes first. So Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, is that itself Ma'akev? So we generally assume that's not Ma'akev. One is certainly Mekayim a mitzvah if he puts an Eino Tadir before a Tadir. He just didn't do right. He just didn't do the things in the right order. So all of these things are things where the Seder potentially is critical. What was the point that Rav Huna was trying to make when he says, whenever the Chachamim say Derech Minyan, Ein Muktam Umuchar, the Seder doesn't really matter? So what's he trying to tell me? Where do we find that that's in fact true, that the Seder does not really matter? Meaning he said, these are the exceptions. So if these are the exceptions, it seems like a lot of exceptions. Where's the rule? Where do we have a case where the Seder actually doesn't matter at all? So La'afuke B'mitzvah Chalitza, where the Seder doesn't matter at all, is when it comes to something like mitzvah chalitza. Ditnan, mitzvah chalitza, the way the procedure of chalitza goes is as follows. Now, every once in a while, we still do chalitzas. People don't realize that chalitzas happen. Unfortunately, sometimes people don't think of the fact that there's a chalitza situation. I've been involved a few times where someone was at a shiva call for someone and they realized that the children are all adopted and that there's a real chalitza situation or something like that. So anyway, so mitzvah chalitza, bohu v'yivemta l'fnei beizdin, the brother and the Yavama come in front of Beisdin, Hayinoslo Eitzal Genislov, and they have to advise him properly whether it makes sense for him to marry this girl or not. So the Gemara, the Mishnah describes that if she's a Zakena and he's young, or vice versa, so that's not so proper. Shenamar Vukarlo Ziknei Rov Dibro, I love. They speak to him, meaning they have to find out if it works for him, if it's going to make sense for him. Vihi Omeris Me'en Yavami, and then when they decide that they're going to do Chalitza, so she says he refuses to marry me. He then says his part of Lo Chafasi Lekachta. Oblashan Hakodesh Hayomer. They had to say this Dafka Oblashan Hakodesh. V'nag sheyivemto elav le'ene hazakenim v'chol tzanalav. The Yavama goes in front of the Zakenim and she removes his shoe. V'yarka b'fan of Roka Nira L'dayanim. And she spits in front of him with enough saliva that it's Nira L'dayanim, that people could see the saliva. V'ansa v'yamra. And she says, Kacha ye'al salish. This is what we do to a person who doesn't want to build his brother's house. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalusanal, etc. The mitzvah chalitza, Rav Yehuda says, you want to know how it works? Korah, she says something first, v'korei, then comes his part, chaletzes, then she removes the shuv, v'rokekes, then the spinning, v'korah, then she says another part. V'avinim ba'maikam ashmal and mesnisini. We said, yeah, that's a good summary of everything we just said, but that's beferish of the Mishnah. So ha'kam ashmal and mitzvah achi v'yapach lasam bad. Now he's telling us that that's mitzvah chalitza, but if you switch around the order a little bit, it's not going to be makif. Tani nami achi bein shiktim chalitza l'rkika, o rekika l'chalitza masha asa asui. And also la'fuke v'adetran, it also comes to exclude the other Mishnah, Kohen Gadol Meshamish B'Shmona Kelim V'Hedyot Barba, that there are 8 Big Day Kuna Gadol and 4 Big Day Kohen Hedyot. B'Ketonis B'Mechlasayim B'Metsnefes V'Avnit Most of Alein Kohen Gadol Choshen V'Eifol Mil V'Tzitz V'Tani Minayin Shlo Yedover Kodim Mechlasayim. How do we know the Mechlasayim comes first? Shedemar Mechlasay V'Ad Yehiyu Al B'Saro, that they should always be on his body when he puts on the other clothing. V'Tani Maitayma Akhtime L'Ketonis Mishum Da'akhtime Kra. Why does the Tana mention the Ketonis first? Because the Pasuk mentions it first, but you see that the Seder in the Mishnah is not correct. V'kra my time aktime, good, but why does the Pasuk mention it first if it's not the first thing warned? Mishum de mechasya kulu gufe adifalei, because it's a more chashva beget, since it provides the ultimate sneels. It covers his entire body. But that's the second exception where you see, or the second application of the rule, where we see that the Seder is in fact not ma'akev. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up at the two dots tomorrow.